right. If you've stuck around for the Filter of Hope update, come on in, have a seat, and we will get started. Russ is going to reenact one of his favorite memories from the trip for us. So that's why we're sitting up on the stage, because we'll need some height for that one. No, I really don't want to see that reenacted. All right. Awesome. Well, kind of got quiet, so I'll take that as my cue to get started here. And that way we can get out to the picnic and baptism in a good time. So we do want to leave a little bit of time at the end for any questions that you all have. So we'll do that at the end. But for starters, just as a rehash, earlier in August, this brave group of eight went to Antigua, Guatemala, with a ministry called Filter of Hope. And then just to clarify, in case there was some confusion, we did not go to Nicaragua. It was, in fact, Guatemala, so which I could see the confusion. They sound a little bit similar at the end there. Filter of Hope, the whole idea is that we are providing filtration for homes that do not have clean water. They may have access to water, but it's not clean water. It may have bacteria, things like that, or it's just filthy. And so we go in through the partnership of a local church, provide these filters for these homes. We set it up. The goal in every place is to either encourage them if they already know Christ, spend some time praying with them, or to share the gospel. And so that's what we did. And so what we're going to do here is just give everybody a chance to share. I prompted them with, you know, five different questions they could answer or just to share a story. So each one is going to take a moment and do that. Some might be longer than others. But I've let them all know that we've already had a sermon this morning. So it'll just be a memory from the trip or a story. About halfway through, we'll share some slides and give you all a break from hearing from us, see kind of what we saw. And then we'll finish up, and then we'll have the Q&A at the end. So I'm going to start with Tracy Zabka.
Oh, I have to hold this, too.
Oh, yeah.
I have some notes, because I'm a little nervous, but really excited to share with you guys just a piece of our trip. And the memory that I'm going to share, kind of the story that just always comes to my mind when I think of the trip, is actually the first house that we went to. We were split up in groups of four. And, you know, we kind of had expectations of what we thought maybe it would look like. And I'm not a super big, like, conversationalist, like keeping conversations going or like that kind of thing. But that was my role. I was the spokesperson for this first house. And so it was just to go in and kind of talk to them and get to know them. We introduced ourselves and then just to ask questions about their lives. And people are like, oh, just ask them about their family, ask about their kids. And I'm like, I can do that. Kids, I can talk about that. So the first house we went into, you know, we introduced ourselves, and I started asking her, and she doesn't have, they just moved, no family, no kids. I'm like, okay, what am I going to talk about? Like in the instant, I'm thinking, okay, my whole thing is shot. But God, in his awesomeness, you know, provided conversation, and our team really helped each other out any time we kind of hit some bumps. And we talked about chickens, and it was a good conversation. And just as we started to kind of share why we were there, we kind of transitioned into kind of one of the reasons we're there, to bring the filter, to give them water. And just with this, just as we were explaining that, and as Ethan was putting together the filter, and just seeing this woman standing there and kind of figuring us out still, but as we're explaining, like, this water filter is going to make your life so much easier. And we later learned that there was just a lot of hardships that I didn't fully grasp as she was explaining, that we learned later. Just moved there, no family, no friends, her husband works, just you could feel like the heaviness and the sadness of so many aspects of that. And so being able to explain this water filter and just this piece of physical, you know, this equipment that's going to help her make her life easier in one aspect, was, it was just really cool. And you could see just tears in her eyes, even as we're explaining this. And then once you get the filter working, and after we put all this junk in, I mean, I'm talking like chicken poop, we're putting in this water, another way God shows that he's like, so I'm like, we really have to drink this because we have to show them. They look at you like, I am not drinking that water. But seeing the look on her face, like thinking that's like for real, was just one of the pieces of just an amazing thing that we saw, or that I saw specifically with this. And then transitioning into, you know, Russ sharing the gospel. And just throughout the whole thing, this woman is like tearing up, and it just, like, she was crying, and you could just feel like, even though the communication was a little rough, especially being our first one, we had a translator, but you just sensed like the appreciation and like the gratefulness of like us just being in her home, first of all, talking with her, but then offering this gift of this water filter, and then going into the gospel and being able to share with her Jesus. You know, this is the ultimate gift here, and for her to hear it, and again, like tears. It was really, some of it got a little confusing because I was just praying and trying to keep it together myself of like, as he's presenting, but just seeing that, a little bit of that heaviness kind of lifted, I think, in hearing the message of hope that Jesus offers. I'll try to wrap it up a little bit, but just being able to be a part of that. Like at that moment, she didn't accept Christ like while we were there, but I know that she heard the message. I know that she felt the love of Jesus there, and you know, will be followed up with. But so just a couple things, just being a part of something like that was just a blessing for us, for me. I guess I can speak for all of us. But just seeing the physical need of the water filter, and then this spiritual need that all of us have. And this is probably one of my big takeaways, is like, you know, in this country, Guatemala, these people, they're no different than the people here. You know, I mean, I think everybody knows that, but when you see it, you're like, there is just a need for Jesus, for everybody. And God is the same God there as he is here. So just to kind of a big takeaway for me is like to just allow God wherever we are to, you know, to just share that love, whether it's a physical thing, and to share Jesus when we can. So that's my piece.
And I hand it on.
After you're done.
Well, one of the key things is in our preparation for going to Guatemala was that in our instructions we needed a Bible that could afford to get wet. So all I heard was we needed a Bible. So I was excited about, I get to buy a new Bible. But as I got home, I was instructed, no, I can't buy a new Bible. So I pulled this one off the shelf that already had water damage on it, because it was a Bible that could be damaged by water. And we experienced some days of rain and lots of heavy rain, which was, since you took my story, one of the days that we were presenting the filter and sharing the gospel, it was a heavy rain. We were in this shed with a tin roof. So you got heavy rain on a tin roof, people coming in and out, kids running around. So it was really, really distracting. But as we walked through the filter and showing the dirty water turning to clean water, and just seeing the eyes of the people really open up, and then as we shared the gospel with them, how Jesus can take our dirty lives and make them pure like this pure water, and seeing their eyes open up as well with that is really touches your heart and really draws you closer to the team, in that we were experiencing this together, seeing God act in this way, and seeing God act in getting us there, seeing God acting while we were there, and getting us back. He is an amazing God that can bring not only purity in water through this filter, but purity in our lives as well, through what he has done on the cross, and sharing that with folks who may have been poor materially, but the richness of their closeness with their families. Some homes that we went into had multiple family units living in the same home as well, which we were able to touch as well. So multiple family units as well. And I'll stop there.
All right. So on this trip to Guatemala, leading up to it, I was like pretty nervous about like flying for the first time and like going on my first mission trip and like what it would be like and all that kind of stuff. And I just had to remember to pray and and God gave me peace about all of those things that I was worrying about through that time. And it helped me grow my relationship with him and my trust in him. And an example is on the first day of filter distribution, which is where we like go out and give filters and spread the gospel. We were supposed to go to a certain person's house, but they weren't home. So we went to a different person's house, and we were able to talk with them and pray with them and some things that they were struggling with. And it was just, it was a really kind of like eye-opening experience getting to see like seeing what they struggled with and seeing their everyday life was just, yeah. Yep.
So on the last day of filter distribution, it was my turn to share the gospel. And I was super nervous, but we went into the house, and we kind of got to talk with them a little, and so they said that their house had burned down 3 months ago, and everything, including the house, like everything in the house, was either given to them from friends, or they were, like, renting the house, and they were just so, like, content and grateful for everything. And I think God was really showing me that not to take things for granted and to be grateful for what we have.
I did want to piggyback on Elijah's story there. When we were walking, we had the pastor of one of the local churches with us and the translator, Hector, who was actually a pastor in Florida, but he was not native to the U.S. He had moved there, and then he was back over serving with us. But he said, he translated for us. Now, the person we were going to meet with is not home, and he said, this is where it gets exciting, because now we're in the Lord's hands, and he will guide us. And I just thought that perspective was awesome, because many times when our plans get thwarted, we get frustrated. But just this attitude of, like, watch and see what God is going to do, I thought was really helpful and challenging to me. So if we're able to play the kind of the slideshow there.
You know.
So thank you to Hudson for putting that together and everyone that shared pictures. At this point, I just wanted to say, as you've already heard here, not only are we going to try to be a part of what God is doing somewhere else and impact the lives of others and show them his love, God uses short-term mission trips to do a lot in our lives as well. And I hope that comes out. Like, it's not just about what we're doing, but God actually is doing a lot in the people that go. So many of you gave to make that possible, and I just want to say thank you. Thank you very much for giving generously so that God could do a work in our lives and the work of those that we went to serve. So we'll keep going with Hannah here.
And that's a perfect segue into my points and questions. God definitely challenged me. He picked two of my biggest weaknesses and said, this is what you're doing this week. Uncle Mike gave me the job of being the friendly spokesperson, and I was like, me? What? But here I'd always say I'm shy. You know, I'm not the first one to walk in anywhere, really, especially by myself. I always get nervous or scared, and there it was, like, totally different. It wasn't even me. It was God, and it was great to feel how he worked through that, and something that I need to work on here. And praying out loud, I am not good at. I pray and I'm like, what did I even just say? That doesn't make sense at all. But a lot of the week, I was the only female in the group. So, you know, it's the work week while we were there. So really just the women and kids were home. So as a woman, to a woman, I could walk up, put my hand on her while I prayed, while the translator prayed. And that was just another nice perspective because I had that other level of reaching them to comfort them sometimes when they were crying, to just different ways that I could relate. And I think both those weaknesses I need to work on here, because I think God was like, they're not as big of weaknesses as you think they are. And the other thing that was really neat was really seeing how vast God's kingdom is. I mean, we're down a back alley, walking down another back alley, down the side of a mountain, in a tiny little house with a dirt floor, and I shared the gospel for the first time to someone who was already a believer, but I'm sitting there and I'm like, I have a sister in Christ in the middle of nowhere, you know? And that's a great thing to remember, and there's places even farther in the middle of nowhere that I'm sure somewhere there's believers and still people that need to be reached as well, so you can know that you guys have sisters in Christ that are just also in the middle of nowhere.
So I'm going to go off of what Elijah said a little bit. The first day that we went out, the first house we went, and there was nobody home. So our translator, Hector, said, yeah, this is all in God's hands now, and it really worked out. We went to the house, and there were two younger boys. I think they were like 11 and 9 or something like that. They were like just doing school. They had some puppies. It was really cool because it's a house just like ours. They're people just like us. And there was just the mom home because the dad was out working. And Hannah did a great job just being the spokesperson, asking about them and what they do and that kind of thing. And then we started sharing the gospel, and the mom was just, it really spoke to her, and the translator was really nice because he would kind of pray with her because he was a pastor too. So he knew like we didn't really have to say at some point. He would just kind of take it from there and really speak to them. And you could tell it really made an impact on her, and she accepted Christ into her heart. And we prayed with her, and She had a lot going on, but I could tell it really made an impact to her.
All right, I'm the last one, I think, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Ms. Bridger still has to go. Okay, I'll make this quick. So there's a lot of stories I could tell. It was an amazing week for sure. Just so many different things, so many different ways God moved. I guess the highlight for me that God challenged me in and that I could also see challenge the people there was just the sharing of the gospel. So, you know, we'd use the filter as an illustration to share the gospel, and this was my first time sharing the gospel. I mean, I've shared it before with friends and family, but it's not the same cross-culturally. It's a lot more difficult, and it was a little more stressful for me. So that, do you have a question, Mr. Branson? No, so most of the time, like the people we were giving the water filters to and sharing the gospel with, they spoke only Spanish, so we had to speak through a translator to them. Yeah, no problem. So so sharing the gospel was just a really cool experience. I got to do it for a few houses during the week, and I don't know, it was just so cool to see the power of the gospel. And how it could, like, the water touched their lives, obviously, but also the gospel just made an even bigger impact on them. It's just, I don't know, you read about it in the Bible, like Romans 1:16 says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God. And you're like, oh, that's cool, yeah, the gospel is powerful. When you actually see that in person, like, actually impacting people and hearing how other people's stories with the gospel went, it was just so cool to see and to not only give the gospel to someone, but also to hear other stories of other people giving the gospel for the first time. So that was definitely a really cool experience. And then kind of another part of that was just, that was really cool, was just the willingness of the people to listen. Like, in the States, when you try to talk about God or the Bible or Jesus, you either get one or two responses. Either it's, oh, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to hear about God or anything. Or they're like, okay, that's good for you, you know, you do your own thing. But in both senses, they kind of shut out the gospel. Like, they don't really listen and seek to understand. But these people would sit there and listen as we spoke for, you know, 20 to 30 minutes just about the gospel, like actually listening and telling their own stories too, which was really encouraging. So whether they were believers, and I mean, when they were believers, that was really encouraging to us because we could hear their stories. And even when they weren't, they shared some of their struggles, so we knew how to pray for them and how to better love them. So, yeah, that was definitely my highlight, was just sharing the gospel and seeing how powerful it truly is.
Thanks. think, and after this I'm going to share stats for any of the numbers people out there. We'll share the stats of the trip. So last story, I think, wow, I would encourage you to go on a mission trip first. It's hard to narrow this down, but I think as a general principle, something that really I was reminded of and really stood out to me again is that everybody has a story. Everybody has something going on in their life. And if we don't take time to sit and listen and ask, we're not going to know what that is. And so what's the common American greeting? Hey, how are you? I'm fine. How are you? Right? Like, that's how we go throughout our day with each other. And I didn't know stories were going on in some of these homes until we asked how we could pray for them at the end. And you turn out that this person you've been talking with for an hour is in their home. Their brother has stage 4 cancer. The girl in the home that you're talking with has like some major things going on, doesn't know how to explain it, but medical help is needed. In another home, I found out that this sweet lady who prayed with us to know Jesus, and she had two of her daughters there, her husband had passed away 2 months prior. Her son came home as we were praying with her, and you could tell he was very downcast. He was probably 18 or 19, so an adult. Really struggling to find his way. His father's now gone, And he said, even though my father drank a lot and wasn't great to me, you know, obviously he misses him. And he prayed with us as well. And so it just takes time. And even in our culture, everybody has something going on. And if we don't stop and listen and ask, we're not going to know what that is or know how to care for them. So I would just encourage you with that, that that works in Guatemala, and it works here in Medina. It works with your neighbors. It works with your coworker. And so awesome to all of you. Thank you. I know that even sitting up here, holding a microphone and telling a story was a step of faith. So thank you for sharing with us what God did in you. Q&A time. Anybody have questions? Yeah. Yeah, so Hector was the translator that he actually was from Florida, but had come over to help out. Native Spanish speaker. I think some of these folks, I don't know, because I don't know. So I got COVID on Tuesday of the trip, and I was laid up. So I didn't meet some of these people, actually. I know the guy with the hat and the beard, was that Elijah? I think his name was Elijah. And that was pretty cool because he had had COVID leading up to the trip and just prayed and prayed and prayed and got a clear test literally just the night before. That was something interesting. So just culturally, because Elijah prompted, I don't know if you can see his left hand is covered in tattoos. He actually has a lot of tattoos. He has they call it a sleeve. And he had to keep those covered while in Guatemala. From a previous trip to Guatemala, I know that with the gang activity, tattoos are involved, and so that would be the perception of the people there is that maybe this guy is a gang member. And so that's just something culturally to know going on, but he was just an awesome guy taking a major step of faith. And so the others are from the church that we were there with. What was the name of the church? New Beginnings Fellowship, I think, NBF, out of Missouri. They're the reason we could go. They had a team of 17. We had 8, and you need a minimum of 10. And they were more than willing to let us kind of jump onto their trip. And so some activities we did together, and some we did separate. So.
And the one guy in front with the blue hat on, Servin, he was a translator among some of the groups, and he was really integral in encouraging and kind of incorporating him.
He was one of the main translators and coordinating everything. So he was with us kind of every step of the way, kind of helping us understand and interpret things. And
Yeah, he's the Filter of Hope representative in Guatemala. The host church had arranged for the homes for us to visit.
One of the interesting things was, and Russ had said, we were like, oh, they're going to have buckets, they're going to be ready, and sometimes we would go, and they'd be like, they're going to be totally prepared for you, and we'd walk in, and I remember that first day, too, it was like, they don't have a bucket. We're like, okay, so they don't have kids and they don't have a bucket. I remember all, like, looking at each other, like, what do we do? And again, God and his great mercy, like, provided. But yeah, most of them had an awareness. And it wasn't uncommon to, like, be in a home and have, like, people show up with buckets. Like, especially, like, the second, third day, like, word got around. And so, so we had to kind of navigate that as well.
People not on the list were showing up with buckets.
Yeah.
I think, Paul, you had a question as well.
Oh, I just looked like you, if this is me, but you represented Weymouth Community Church very well, and I think you deserve a hand.
So, I'm the number guy.
Oh, how about those numbers? Do you want them first? Well, let's go over that. Yeah, so I've got them right here. If I can get into my phone real quick here. All right, so as Weymouth Church, we each raised funds to take 5 filters apiece. And so through our week, we gave out, and again, we had some health attrition, so we weren't all 100% every day, but we handed out, as Weymouth Church, our team of 8, 34 filters. We shared the gospel with 47 different individuals. 11 prayed to receive Christ with us there while we were in the home, and we confirmed 18 that were already Christians, and so those were ones where we got to just fellowship and encourage and pray for them and hear their stories. And as a whole trip, so with the other team that was there, this is a chicken scratch here on this. So we gave out 75 filters, shared the gospel with 136 individuals, PRC, prayed to receive Christ is 52, and 55 confirmed kind of believers. And the way that we did that, so I watched our translators, like, knowing that there's Catholicism and some Christianity mixed in with, we're a lot, I think, with Mayan descendants. And so they weren't of Spanish descent, they were of Mayan descent. So there's those religions mixed in there as well a little bit. So there would be a lot of time back and forth, scripture, trying to really gauge if they understood that Jesus is the way and the only way. And so I know after a few of those, I felt very confident that if Serban or Hector felt confident this person truly knew Jesus, I had confidence too. So that was just really cool to, again, meet other fellow kingdom members and then be a part of ushering new people into the kingdom. So those are the numbers I have. Any other numbers you want to know?
So our American Filter of Hope leader did tell us on the second to last day or something that this was the most groups they've ever done. So typically, it's one filter, one family in the house. That's it. He goes, all of us, most of the time, we were doing at least 2 filters. We were in one house where the lady had walked from, she was like 2 communities over and walked to be here for the filter. So, and there was one house, another lady who didn't live there, who came just to listen, that could get signed up. So there were a couple people in charge kind of with Filter of Hope that then we went to her house and installed a filter. So they follow up and they do just with other people who showed up to get them filters too.
Yeah, thanks. And to part of your other question, so they do not ever hand out a filter just to get a water filter out. They really want to know that this person also is having an opportunity to hear the gospel. So that they will not thirst again, right? So, yeah, no, and the local churches in the communities where we go, they are a part of that as Filter of Hope sends, because the filters come from stateside. We bring them over, the teams bring them over, and that's how the churches stay involved. So they really see it as a way for us in the U.S. to be involved in this ministry, to partner with and, I guess, provide the resources that the local churches need to do that. I know that we left, I think, 6 of our filters there. And so, you know, I know that that will get used through Filter of Hope in a way that the gospel will be shared also. Yeah. Does that answer your question? And I think we had another question. Okay. Yes, sir. Correct. Yeah, we take them in our luggage. Yeah. And there's a really big, sharp drill bit, so it's always check luggage. And they all made it. So, I mean, that is, anyone flown? It's a miracle when everything arrives, and everything arrived. So it was great.
It was a filter, the tools for the filter, and a New Testament that we gave to the families.
Any other questions?
Yes.
Yeah, so there's a basic gospel outline in Spanish. We had them in English for us to kind of follow. Russ has an example here. And then we left that in the Bible with them, so they had, you know, kind of a review sheet and a basic step through scripture that showed who Jesus was, why he came, how to know him. Yeah, it's predominantly a it was a colony, and it was colonized by Christians, so that type of heritage is there. But especially among the Mayan people, they have their own, you know, religions that came with it, and so, you know, I would say there definitely was some syncretism, just a mixture of those two things, and so that's where the clarity is really helpful. Well, thank you all. I'm going to cut it off here. There's a lot of other stuff going on today, but huge, huge thank you again. You as Weymouth Community Church and outside of Weymouth Community Church sent us and so allowed us to be a part of what God is doing through Filter of Hope in Guatemala, specifically on this trip. So thank you. We are going to talk and see, like, what's the next thing that Weymouth would like to be involved with internationally? But also, how do we take what we learned there and apply that locally? Because there is kingdom work to do here as well as over there. So thank you again, and we'll just dismiss it here.